Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Malaysia's attitude towards sexual harassment has come into focus once again after women took to Twitter to share experiences of being harassed by police officers at roadblocks. Nisha Sabanayagam is the Program and Operations Manager at the All Women's Action Society, or better known as AWAM. She joins us on the line now. Nisha, good evening. Women's organizations like AWAM, that's doing work on the ground, have come up to estimate that for every reported case of sexual harassment, there are 8 or 9 cases that go unreported. That is a staggering number. And, you know, we know that sexual harassment is already underreported for a range of reasons, but do you think this is more so the case as when the perpetrator of the harassment is in uniform, is a law enforcement officer?
Oh, yes, definitely. The fact that the perpetrator is a person who is a police officer or a person who is meant to protect you is definitely a reason that women feel even more fear to actually make a report. On any normal day, in a normal case where the perpetrator isn't a police officer, we get reports of, we get cases where women don't go to the police or they come to AWAM instead. Or as you saw recently, they actually go on Twitter. And the fact that it's a police officer, even when the person comes to AWAM and the person tells us, okay, there's a police, or the perpetrator is a police officer, even for us, we take a little bit of a step and we wonder, okay, who do we talk to? Who do we go to? Thankfully, of course, AWAM has a good relationship with the D11 in Bukit Aman. So we can always, you know, work with the people in Bukit Aman. But that's AWAM. Imagine a person on the street, you know, who do they go to? So that the fact that if the perpetrator is a police officer, it contributes even more to the numbers of underreporting.
Nisha, there was a conversation on social media about, police officers and whether flirting constituted sexual harassment. And there was an expression that was going around, oh, police officers are also human. And I wonder if, and I, you know, if at least among women, there is a consensus about where those lines are, where the lines between what is acceptable levels of flirtation and what is unacceptable, and so on and so forth. Is there a consensus or is there a divergence? Is there a conversation going on among women?
Okay, so first of all, when you are actually in uniform and you're on the road and your job is to basically, have roadblocks where you have the right to stop people in their car, you have to be professional. I don't think there's any excuse for flirting. And especially when you know that you are in the position of power and you flirt with somebody, if that person is uncomfortable, there's nobody around to actually stop you from continuing that flirtation. When it comes to what is the boundaries for flirtation, it's different for every woman. And people need to realize this. There's no one standard set rule as to what constitutes it's okay to flirt or not okay to flirt. And that's why it's so important to have the sexual harassment bill tabled, because the sexual harassment bill goes on the foundation that a person is considered to be sexually harassed when that person feels uncomfortable, humiliated, offended, or threatened. And when you have a law like that, it makes people a little bit more aware about their behavior and a little bit more respectful to the person that they're interacting with.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought up the sexual harassment bill, Nisha. I mean, these allegations of sexual harassment has renewed calls over the urgency of this bill. We need this law enforced. If there was a Sexual Harassment Act enforced today, how would that law protect these women who were harassed at the roadblock?
Okay, I'm so glad that you asked me that question. Well, first of all, the women do not have to go to police to make a report against a police officer. So that just takes away that barrier, right? The second thing is that they would actually be able to go to people who understand what it is like to feel sexually harassed, people who actually deal with sexual harassment cases, people who are experts in. So they do not have to worry whether they have to prove to this person that I've been sexually harassed. And thirdly, with the sexual harassment bill comes the need of the requirement for a tribunal. And the tribunal has a specific time period where they actually have to make sure that these cases are acted upon and that justice is served. So all this removes the barriers of underreporting and also the fear of having to make a report if the perpetrator is a police officer.
Anisha, I want to ask you a broader question that goes beyond the checkpoints and, you know, really around the question of whether you think that the police have, over the last couple of years, acted with impunity when it comes to women, looking at the Miri case. There now seems to be action taken against, 11 police officers. But, you know, for the longest time, we thought of the police as protecting their own, right? Of this blue wall that, that is about camaraderie among police officers. So, how much of that is true? I mean, how much do you feel as an activist that action is taken and that individual officers suffer the consequences of their actions?
Well, I think we can use the examples of a couple of cases that we've seen. For example, the police officer who was accused of allegedly raping the two Mongolian women. We've not seen really a closure to that case or really any form of justice being brought against the police officer. In our cases, when we deal with Awam, usually when we have cases where the police officers are perpetrators, and we do have those cases, when we take them to, for example, the D11 or Bukit Aman, action is taken against the police officer. And actually, you can see in the case where the integrity of head of Bukit Aman actually said that he would make sure that disciplinary action is taken. What we would like to see, however, that, this is just not lip service. We'd like to see, when you say disciplinary action, what kind of disciplinary action are you taking? Is this person just going to be suspended? And how do you stop this trend from actually repeating? Even last year during the NCO, Awam had already had a couple of cases where authorities at police roadblocks were actually harassed people in cars. I think what we need to do is we need to look at a more sustainable solution. And one of the more sustainable solutions is to ensure that we have curriculum in the police academies that teach all these police officers what is actually sexual harassment, what can they cannot do at roadblocks, where do they cross the line when it comes to actually dealing with the public, especially when the public are young, vulnerable women.
Anisha, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We really do appreciate your time. We're going to be back with more on this topic, so stay tuned to consider this.